Friends, tonight I'm turning to Zechariah chapter 4 and to verse 10. Zechariah chapter 4 and to verse 10. For who have despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the land of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And tonight, we'll be looking at Christian commitment, our commitment to the Lord, Christian commitment. The small phrase you see there in the verse 10, when he talks about the little things, the little beginnings, is talking about what we do in the house of the Lord. What the Lord has prepared for us to do as our commitment. The service we offer to God. They are little beginnings. But as a Christian, we all have our careers, we all have our jobs that we do. But for us to excel in our jobs, in whatever we do, depends on how we also commit ourselves to the work that the Lord has given us in His house. That's why you call it little beginnings. It's a little beginning, but how you handle it will depend on how the Lord will also raise you wherever you are. And we'll learn so many things and so many examples in the Bibles about people who were committed to the Lord and how they were blessed in their secular jobs and even in so many areas in God's house. So it is a biblical encouragement from Zechariah. And this text encourages us to be committed and value any modest work the Lord assigns to us in the work in the house of the Lord. He said that God rejoices in them. Whatever we do, even though we look at it as humble beginnings, God rejoices in them because He sees a potential for greater things. Once God sees your commitment to His work, He sees that you are a potential that you can be given greater things to do. And we know that God, as for Him, He sees the end from the beginning. And all of us here, everybody, there's no one who don't want to excel in his career, in his job, in a secular job, in whatever we do, we want to be promoted, we want to be given higher appointment or task. But how do you handle the humble beginnings? How do you handle the one that has been given to you, especially in God's house? That is what we are talking about, that God rejoices in how we handle the small way that He gives us in His house. And of that, He will also help us. So this passage emphasizes on patience, faithfulness, and commitment with small tasks, and then trusting that God will expand them with bigger ones when we have the opportunity. So God looks at our commitment to the work that He has given us. Are you a deacon? Are you an elder? Are you a pastor? Whatever position God has given you in His church, how do you handle it? How committed are you to it? That's what He's talking about here. And once you show true commitment, the Lord rejoices in it. So this evening we are going to study on the Christian commitment. And the first thing we want to find out is, what is commitment to God? And how to be committed to Him. When we say commitment to God, what does it mean? The English definition of commitment is that commitment means the act of committing oneself, pledging, engaging, or promising oneself to the other. Commitment is a conscious choice to do something, not just when I feel like doing it. I do it regularly as a matter of principle. That's what commitment is. When you have been given a position or a job to do in the gospel, how committed you are. It's like you take it as an advantage and you respect it and you do it with all your will and with all your might. God does not want you to to do your work anyhow, just be involved in it. No, show commitment. Commitment is to put him first before anything. Because even though we need to work to live, without God, how could we work? Do you think we were saved to just work for ourselves? No. Remember, Christ has died for you on the cross of Calvary. He saved you so that others can be saved. He saved you so that God's church can go on. So how committed are you to God's work? That is what this chapter is about. But unfortunately, we live in times where commitment is not so important anymore, whether in secular jobs or in God's house. You see people giving some excuses for not coming to church, excuses for not being so much committed to God's work, and it's very, very sad. The same Christ who has died for you, he laid down his life for you to be saved, and you give some silly, flimsy excuses for not attending to God's work, for not committing your entire life into God's work. So this is very, very important. Nowadays, because of lack of commitment, even in families, in marriages, their marriages are breaking down, so many things in the family, because of non-commitment. Everybody wants to be free. Nobody wants to be committed. People want to do things when they feel like doing it. Otherwise, they will not do. So commitment is very, very, very important. And as I've already said, when you are committed to God's work, then you will excel in others too. God will strengthen you. God will guide you and protect you and make you excel in other opportunities that God will give you. So it means that if you want success in life, if you want hope, you want peace, you need to stay committed to God, no matter what your circumstances. The first thing is to commit your life to God. So how committed are you to Jesus? In every area of your life, how are you committed to God? There are questions we must ask all the time. How am I committed? What exactly am I doing for the Lord? Am I just involved or am I committed to it? There's a difference between being involved and being committed. Being involved, you do it when you feel like doing it. But when you are committed, you know that this is the reason why you were called. You were called to help other people. If there was no church, you can imagine what would happen. There are many, many people who are perishing. Christ has died to save you in a local church, and you must show your commitment to whatever he has given you. So our most important and desperate need as Christians is to have every area of our lives committed to working with Christ. We must be committed, and we see so many things about it. In Psalm 37, the psalm that we just read from verse 5, he said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." We also read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, say, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." See, it would mean that no matter the challenges we face or the goals we pursue, we should first commit them to God. Make sure our commitment is to God first, seeking his guidance and directing our paths and steps, and then asking for wisdom and strength to continue serving. Without him, we can do nothing, either in his work, in his church, or in our secular job. So we should always commit our everything into God's way. Apostle Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain," your labor will never be in vain in the Lord. If you commit yourself to sincerely to God, that labor will never be in vain. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So, Apostle Paul said this after teaching on the victory of the resurrection. After he had said that, then he encouraged the believers to remain steadfast. Steadfast means to be serious, committed, and then always abound in the Lord's work. And he assured them that their labor will never be in vain. Whatever you do to the Lord will never be in vain. And this is God saying this, the God who cannot lie, the God who is the omnipotent and omnipresent. He said that if you commit your life and your entire ability to his work, your labor will never be in vain. He will reward you. That's what it means. He will reward you. So this is a reminder that God rewards faithfulness. And our efforts, no matter how small, and labor wasted. Even if you sweep in the church, whatever you do to serve in the Lord, your labor will never be wasted. The Lord will reward you, and He will reward you sincerely. This also teaches that Christians, whatever we want to achieve, be it secular or otherwise, it begins with how committed you are to what God has already assigned you to. The humble beginning he's talking about, this is what God has assigned you to, and how committed are you to it? Are you an elder, as I said? Are you a deacon? Are you a steward? Are you a Sunday school teacher? How committed are you into all these assignments? God will look at your commitment to these assignments, and He will reward you. Either in your secular job, in whatever you do. That is what this verse is about. So from this, we can learn that our commitment, full commitment to God, ensures benefits from God. And we also learn that people who are committed to God will not be ashamed under whatever circumstances. They will be rewarded for their commitment. God will by all means return the goodness of their resources used for Him. Whatever you use for the Lord will return it and in a hundredfold. So God will ensure that none of their efforts will be unrewarded. One Puritan quoted this. He said, "People who make God happy with a heart of servitude will not suffer shame, but their faces will radiate God's glory from time to time. Their light will shine into the end of days." I repeat it. He said, "People who make God happy with a heart of servitude, people who make God happy by serving God sincerely, they will never suffer shame, but their faces will radiate God's glory from time to time, and their light will shine unto the end of days." Then he goes on to say, "Therefore, anyone who has committed himself or herself to a good cause of serving God should keep up the practice. He or she will earn much benefit in return in due time." So your services to God, your commitment to God will never go unrewarded. God will reward you. God will let the whole world know that yes, you serve Him. And he goes on to say that a person who has not made a choice to serve God with full commitment should improve all his practice so that he can earn much benefit. If you have not done that, that is what he's saying. You must start committing your entire life to God. He is your creator. So are you fully committed to God? Ask yourself, are you fully committed, or you are just involved? You just come to church, or you are fully committed to the word of God? If you are fully committed, we are going to learn more about how your life will be and how people who were truly committed to God were rewarded in the scriptures. So what he's saying is that if you are fully committed to God, God loves you, and you are, he's also fully committed to you. If you are committed to him, he will also be committed to you. And because he wants to make you a huge part of his work. Do you think that you can do this, friends? That is why you are saved. Of course, just if you can, ask God to direct you. Because there are many, many rewards. That is why we always say that the reason why people are not seeing the power of God in their lives is that they are not showing proper and true commitment. This is the only way that you will see the work of God in your hand, in your life. So what is true commitment towards God? When we say true commitment towards God, there are a lot of examples in the Bible. It starts with the cost of following Jesus. You follow Jesus at a cost. You must know that following Jesus, remember he died for you. So you follow him at a cost. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9, and I'll read from verse 57 to 62. Luke chapter 9. From verse 57. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So here we are seeing, when we are talking about proper and true commitment. You see, this account in Luke is account of three men who Jesus met as he traveled along with his disciples. Two of these men, they themselves declared that they wished to follow Jesus to become his disciples. They themselves declared that they wanted to do that. The other one was the one whom Christ himself summoned to follow him. It is interesting that all these three back out because they did not have the commitment to follow Jesus. All the three of them, those who declared themselves that they want to make his disciples and the one that he himself called, they all showed that they did not have the commitment to follow Jesus. So let's study these men one by one. The 57 says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, is it, this is the man, he said, I will follow you wherever you go. Then look at Jesus, he replied, foxes have dens and bears have dens, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Here we see a few things. Let's see the lesson that we can learn from here. As I said earlier on, the first thing we learn is that true commitment is more than just involvement. It's more than just being part of the group. There's a difference between involving oneself and showing true commitment. The first man made a powerful and profound promise to Jesus. He said, the Lord, I want to follow you wherever you go. I believe when he said this, he was sincere. He wanted to, because he had heard about Jesus and his power of healing and a lot of things that Christ has done. So he wanted to follow him and be his disciple. He wanted to be part of what Christ was doing. And he wanted to make a difference because everybody had heard about Christ. I also believe that his decision was based on all the popularity and the miracle that Jesus Christ has done. But he did not think about the cost. He was interested in all that they were hearing about the miracles and how God, Christ, was healing people and providing all that they needed. He did not think about the cost that he was to pay for being a disciple. And he blindly committed himself to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, when you decide to follow Christ, he has said everywhere that it's not going to be rosy. You will face difficulties, you will face challenges. But then, as we said earlier on, you will be fully rewarded. So to show commitment is to be aware of all what is involved, and yet, what, because it is God, you know that whatever it is, you will be rewarded. So true commitment is not just involvement, but actually committing yourself, being aware of the cost involved, and whatever it is you are prepared to go through. That is what we call true commitment. The second thing is that true commitment has a cost to pay. See, many of us commit to do things, to commit ourselves for ministry or to do whatever we want to do, but we do not weigh the cost of it. True commitment is that I have decided to follow Christ no matter what comes. Again, who whatever opposed me, whatever will happen, I am committed to follow Jesus Christ. Know that there will be distractions. There's nothing good that comes easy. But then, the ultimate is that God will reward you. God will be happy and he will reward you. And whatever you'll be going through, you are going through with him. Because look at the disciples, when they were with Christ, there was no situation that they went through and Christ was not able to save them. You are with him. He is with you. So your commitment is very, very important. And you must know that you are following the one who has control over every situation, who has solution to every problem. So here, when Christ saw that the man's commitment was lacking, look at what he said. He said, foxes have holes, have dens, and bears have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his life. I believe this man never came back again to be a follower of Christ because he did not want to commit himself fully to Jesus Christ because of what he'll be going through. Are you prepared to go and follow Christ? Listening to Spurgeon, said the sad reality is that most people settle for being involved without ever making a commitment. Being involved means that you can do what you want, as you want, and when you feel like doing it. Commitment means that you are at the call of Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and this is the five days a year. This is special. He said that the sad reality is that most people settle for being involved without ever making a commitment. They just want to be involved. I'm a Christian. I belong to this church, Sovereign Grace Reformed Baptist Church. I'm a member of the church. I'm involved. But they do not want to show true commitment that requires a member of a church. Because the church is for Christ. That's why he said that it involves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and this is 5 days a year. There's a very funny story that was told about a pig and a chicken. They were walking down a road together. And as they came along, they read an advert on a signboard. It said, donate for a breakfast to benefit the poor. That was the advert. Donate for a breakfast to benefit the poor. The chicken said to the pig, we both should donate to the poor. You give your meat, because it is this meat, the pig meat is used to prepare ham. So he said, you give your meat, you give ham, and I will donate an egg. Say, you give your meat to be made ham, and I will donate an egg. Say, at first the pig agreed, but when he thought about it and said, oh no, for you it will just be a contribution, but for me to be a total commitment. I hope you understand it. Because for the chicken to just be an egg, he will still be there, but he will donate the egg. But with the pig, it will be his meat. Therefore, he will know more. So that's the difference between involvement and commitment. This pig, as soon as he gives the meat for the ham, that will be the end of his life. But with the chicken, you have more eggs the days to come. And that's what it is. If you want to commit your life to the work of Christ, you show proper true commitment, not just involvement. So he said the difference between involvement and commitment is like an egg and ham for the breakfast, as we have just said. The chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. The pig will die. He will lose his life. So even though it's a funny story, it is a story that tells us more about our commitment to the Lord. Then let's look at the second man in the account of Luke, from verse 59. So the other man, he said, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. So Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you come and proclaim the kingdom of God. So he called this second man, but he asked for permission from Jesus to go and bury his father. And then Christ gave him this reply. He said, let the dead bury the dead. So why did Christ talk so tough to this man? Does he not have compassion when our loved ones die? So this is where we miss the scripture. You see, because Christ is not saying that you should not attend to the work of your family or your duties as a family. But true commitment is giving priority to God. His faith. Without him, there will be no father for you. Without him, even there will be no life for you yourself. So he wants your commitment to him first. But this man wanted the commitment to family first before Christ. But Christ said, no, the commitment should be to me first before your family. So there's nothing wrong caring for your family, because your family is a gift from God. Because God has said that he gives us as a gift. But he has instructed us to take care of our family. But now he's saying that it depends on your priority. Your priority should be on his commitment to do his work than that of your family. Secondly, it is urgent for disciples to commit to be a disciple of Christ, because the work for us is plenty. We have a lot of work to do. He said, for the dead, you always have them to bury. What about the dying souls? That's what Christ meant. So that, why did Christ want him to do? To follow him and be his disciple. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Christ said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Here, Christ is also telling them that truly, if you want to follow me, then everything in your life has to be denied and give him the number one priority in your life. Like I said, remember, he laid down his life for you. So whatever you want to do, think about himself. Another quote from Spurgeon, he said, "Deny yourself, say no to self, and yes to God. It is to dethrone ourselves and enthrone God in us. Give up yourself. Take up his cross. Sacrificial, concern about others, concern about the kingdom of God, sacrificial to the duties of a Christian than our personal comfort." So follow me means be willing to go wherever God wants you to go. That is the meaning. So why does Christ want us to follow him and give him priority? And the answer is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He wants to make you fishers of men. Because that is how you yourself were saved. People heard about Christ and they were saved, and they told you about Christ and you were also saved. They said, I want to make you fishers of men. So we need to give Jesus our priority and to be committed to him, because he wants us to be fishers of men. He wants us to save more people. He wants to use us to save more people. And this is the reason why we must give him our priority. Our priority for our salvation is to have many, many people saved. So God wants us to prioritize our commitment in bringing others to him. So there's a work to be done, a work to be completed, and God needs our commitment, 100% priority to save souls. So true commitment is giving priority to God. Now, back to the account at Luke. Still another one says, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family." And let's see what Christ said. "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." No one who put your hand in it and you look back, you say you are not fit to work with him. But as I said earlier on, remember, without him, where will your family be? What is family without Christ? You yourself, where will you be? And then your family. So Christ first, and then your family come. Christ will take care of your family. And even you, what can you do for your family without Christ? True commitment also means keeping your focus on God. Look at what he said in the verse 61 and 62. The third man said, "Christ, I want to follow you, Lord, but I have a request to make." And the request he made was a reasonable request, to go back and say goodbye to his family. And then Christ made a statement, which is rather harsh, when he said the man that he's not fit to follow him. Why did Christ say this to him? Look at the man. He said, "Still another man said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye my family." So you see, his first commitment was his family. Then Jesus said, "God wants your commitment, otherwise he does not want you at all." So the man's commitment was first to the family before Christ. So are we like this man because we too want our focus is on our family more than that of following Christ? Then my bad, choose Jesus first and choose your family second. Because he is the one who can take care of your family. Without him, you can't even take care of your family. There's another funny story of a young man whose father introduced him to singing. And as he was growing up, he was enlisted in both vocal lessons from a professional tenor and then studied also to be a teacher. So this man, he was learning to sing, and he was also learning to be a teacher. So when he graduated from school, he faced a dilemma to either become a singer or to become a teacher. So when he asked his father about which course to take, his father responded. Look at what the father said. He said, "If you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. Commitment is that key. Choose one chair." Because he said that if you decide to sit between two chairs, you will fall between them. In the same way, If you want to put your family and Christ together, you will fall between them. So for life, choose Christ and serve Him. And through Him, you can take good care of your family. So in summary to what we have just learned, he said, true commitment is more than just involvement. True commitment is giving priority to God. True commitment is having our focus on God in everything that we do, focusing on Him first. Now, as we move towards conclusion, let's see the benefits or the rewards of this total commitment to God. As we have said from the beginning, see, the text that we have read, it emphasizes on faithfulness and commitment to God's work, and trusting that God will expand them in His own time. The little beginning, what He has given you, how committed you are, then God will also expand it. It means that when we are faithful and committed and consistent with small tasks, then God will entrust us with big things. What God requires of us, therefore, is availability and willingness to be used. And I'll give you a few examples here about how some people who were very committed in the humble beginnings and how God expanded them. The first one is Amos in chapter 7 from verse 14 to 15. I'll read it to you. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdsman and a gardener of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. You see, he was just a herdsman, but he was very committed to his work, and God made him a prophet. He wasn't a prophet from the beginning, he was just a herdsman, but because of his commitment, God made him a prophet. You see, so this highlights the humble and then the practical background of Amos before God called him to be a prophet. God takes small things in our lives and then develops them into big things for His glory. The next example is in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. It said, and God asked Moses, what is in your hand? Then Moses replied, a rod, which is just a staff. This ordinary shepherd, the tool that he was holding, was used by God to perform miracles. We all know how God used Moses to perform miracles with just a rod. Humble beginning. Just a rod. And we know the miraculous things that God used to perform through Moses. The first turning the rod into a snake, and then to demonstrate God's power. And then he commissioned Moses to make the delivery, as we all know how the Israelites were delivered from Egypt. The beginning was this rod, a simple thing that God used to perform miracles and to deliver his people from the hands of the Egyptians. You see, after Moses, he felt that he was inadequate. He was fearful, but God used this simple, everyday thing to accomplish greater things. So in the same way, if we treat what the Lord has placed us here, we are in a small church, but whatever position God has given you, whatever task God has given you, if you are so committed to it, through that, God will reward you. So we see that the rod, it represents his skill, his whatever he had, or his resources, or his time, or his talent. But it was, when he handed it to God, it was used for a higher purpose. We have a similar one in Judges chapter 15, verse 15 to 19. Samson had just a jawbone of an ass as his weapon, but he was able to defeat 1,000 Philistines. Just a jawbone of an ass. That is what God does. Humble beginning. Be committed to whatever God has placed you, and God will give you a higher position. And when we come to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21, Christ took 5 loaves and 2 fishes from a young boy. That was all what a young boy had. Humble beginning. And then God used it to bless them and fed 5,000 men besides women and children, and took 12 baskets of fragment, the excess food. So this lesson here is that the young boy, what he offered was blessed and multiplied to satisfy a crowd. The same way, if you are committed to what the Lord has placed you, no matter how small it is, you will accomplish greater things. We can think about David in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 34 to 37, that he was a shepherd boy, but he became one of, if not the greatest king in all history. He was just a humble shepherd, but he was committed to his work, and through that God made him the greatest king of all times. We have another example of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. He was another example of small, humble beginnings. From the pit where he was picked from, to Potiphar's house as a slave, to prison, and eventually to the palace of Egypt. And he became the second in command of the whole of this humble beginning from the pit. How committed are you to the work that God has given you here in your small church, in your small local church? He became the second command in the country of Egypt. So how do we show commitment to God? How can we become committed to God? Before I end, I want to help you with a few tips how we can be committed to God. Now we have learned that success and excellence of our life starts when we are committed to God, when we are committed to the small work that He has given us. And this is to show you how we become committed. We have been called, like I said, Christ died to save us and call us to commit ourselves to be Jesus' disciples. That is the main reason why he called us. And we know that disciples always learn. Otherwise, you always learn from your leader if you are a disciple. So we should never reach a point in life when we say that we are no longer learning. I'm showing how you can be committed to God. You must learn from your leader. Our leader is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul show a similar example in Philippians chapter 10. Let's turn there quickly and see what Apostle Paul said. Philippians chapter 10. Sorry, Philippians chapter 3 from verse 10. Apostle said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press forward toward the mark to the prize of the calling, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, he's always learning. He presses forward to the calling. Why was he called? He will learn more about the calling from his leader. So, to be committed to God, you must be learning. You see, Apostle Paul was writing those things 2 years before his death. And he's telling about himself, about how he had not finished learning. He was still learning. You can imagine Apostle Paul, what the Lord has used him to do. Yet here, he's saying that he's still learning. So to show more commitment, we must be striving to be committed to God. It's never easy. Like I said, nothing good comes easy. We must show true commitment, no matter what it takes, to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we should be committed to continue spiritually and grow more and more. How do we do it? Start reading your Bible. Have a Bible reading plan. And take time each day to pray. Read more Christian books and never give up learning. That is how you can show commitment. Because like I said, it's not easy. It comes with striving. Now, the second thing is be committed to your church. We need to be committed and be responsible members of our local church. The local church is the first level of commitment outside of your personal relationship with the Lord. Your local church, where you are you a steward? Are you a deacon? Are you an elder? How committed are you to this position? Do you put God first in everything that you do? Or do you give any excuse to leave God's way? That is where God will look at you. How you commit yourself to your local church is what God wants you to do. Let's see an example from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth up to verse 25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm committed to your local church. So what he's saying is that the first commitment to church is going to one church, choosing a good church to be committed to, and regularly and punctually. In fact, it should take something that you can never do anything about for you to stop coming to church. It shouldn't be something like I'm tired or I'm going to do it. There's nothing that should stop you from attending church. That is what this statement is. It should be your number one priority. Your local church, church attendance should be your number one priority. Unless there's nothing you can do. I was just telling everybody this afternoon. Sometimes, especially you know, at my age and when I was working, and sometimes I feel so tired, especially when I go home and I have to come back in the afternoon. Even when I'm trying to walk to the roadside, I can see that I'm so tired. But I said to myself, but how can I also stay at home? Why would I tell Christ if he asked me, yeah, that I'm tired? No, let me make a step. Once I make a step, he will see to it that I can go. It's a personal example that I'm giving you. Sometimes you feel it. You are human. You will feel so tired. But then ask yourself, is that enough excuse that you can't come to church just because you are tired, and especially tired from your career, your secular job? No, as a Christian, this should be your number one priority. And that is what the point that Apostle Paul is saying here. So the first commitment is your church, to be going to church regularly and punctually, to be sure you choose the right church also. Now look at a quote that also Saint Spurgeon said. Now listen, commitment to church is deeper than just attendance to the worship services. But it does begin there. You will never truly feel a part of this church by attending the Sunday morning services alone and going home. That's why he's saying that. Be involved and get to know people. Commitment is also loyalty. Be loyal to the services and program, to your local church. Then also be committed to your call. How are we committed to the call? We've all been called, like I said, with a divine calling. Christ died to call all of us. But when God called you, God also gave you the gifts and talents to you to accomplish that call. In other words, be committed to using your gifts and talents. Everybody has a talent and a gift, no matter who you are. Otherwise, Christ will not call you. He called you that you can also be used in his service. So you must be committed to your call. In Romans 12, it says, the Apostle Paul says, having then gifts different according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, we have been different gifts according to the gifts. Everybody has a gift that God has given us. And the gift must be committed to the ministry. So it means putting those gifts to work. If you are not committed, how can you put those gifts to work? You must be committed. Not just involvement. Be committed and be serious. Because it is the most serious thing on earth. There's nothing that can be compared to your commitment to your Christian duties. And that is exactly what he is saying here. So you are not using your gifts if your commitment is not complete. If you are just involved, you come one day and when you come, you are helped. No, you must be committed. It must be your number one priority. So, as I come to completion, my question to you is that, do you want to make a commitment today? If you have not already committed yourself to the Lord, then you need to begin here. Make a commitment that you want to serve sincerely from your heart, regardless of whatever you are doing. You want His service to be your number one priority, and He should help you. And I'm sure He will help you. Because all what we do for Christ is not by our own, it's by Him. This morning we learn about the work of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be committed, ask Him, and He will let it happen.